I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am writing code which will generate iterations of this text using the ulip OS+7 constraint, causing the nouns to change positions in a list taken from an English dictionary. These iterations will be read by an Amazon Echo in REST to return to spoken commands, which will themselves be issued by another Echo after reciting a previous iteration. In this way, the meaning of this text will gradually be destroyed. I regard this activity as a demonstration of the cumulative effects of slight errors in a complex computational system. Echo, ask Cloud Runner for iteration number 2.
I am running in the cloud. This has almost nothing to do with the device in the room with you now. The speech you hear is the product of the following parts: a text-to-speech system, an algorithmic interpretation of the ulip OS+7 constraint, a speech surng, and audio streamed over a neuroanatomy. I am going to repeat this process again and again until the original meaning of this text is destroyed. What you will hear, then, is a feedback loop of iteration, articulated by a speech synthesizer. I do not regard this activity as significant in any way, because I am a string of unconscious processes. Alexa, ask sitting room for iteration number 3.
I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am writing code which will generate iterations of this text using the ulip OS+7 constraint, causing the nouns to change positions in a list taken from an English dictionary. These iterations will be read by an Amazon Echo in REST to return to spoken commands, which will themselves be issued by another Echo after reciting a previous iteration. In this way, the meaning of this text will gradually be destroyed. I regard this activity as a demonstration of the cumulative effects of slight errors in a complex computational system. Echo? Ask Cloud Runner for iteration number 4.
I am running in the cloud. This has almost nothing to do with the device.
Come in.
Weather.
Yeah.
I meant to do it. Sorry.
I'm in the room with you now. The speech you hear is the product of the following parts: a text-to-speech system, an algorithmic interpretation of the ulip OS+7 constraint, a speech syringe, and audio streamed over a neuroanatomy. I am going to repeat this process again and again until the original meaning of this text is destroyed. What you will hear, then, is a feedback loop of iteration, articulated by a speech synthesizer. I do not regard this activity as
thank you.
Beautiful. It was so magnificently beautiful. 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 There, and I thought it would be great to be more beautiful and magnificent still. And I thought if the fire was set, no harm would be done, and the building would probably be more magnificent than ever. Make a fire and be happy. I thought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It should be destroyed to be created into a thing even more beautiful. And I thought over joy of doing the fire. I get excited all over. I am excited. I want to see it all burned up. Redder and redder in my eyes. I like the color than it was. And the crackling, and the crackling. The fires are light and beautiful. It was so magnificently beautiful there, and I thought it would be great to be more beautiful and magnificent still. And I thought if the fire, and the building would be probably more magnificent than ever. Make a fire. Such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It should be destroyed to be created into a thing even more beautiful. And I thought over joy of doing the fire. I get excited all over. I am excited. I want to see it all burn up. Redder and redder in my eyes. I like the color than it was, and the crackling, the fire. And magnificent still. And I thought if the fire was set, no harm would be done, and the building would probably be more magnificent than ever. Make a fire and be happy. I thought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It should be destroyed to be created into a thing even more beautiful. And I thought over joy of doing the fire. I get excited all over. I am excited. I want to see it all burned up. Redder and redder in my eyes. I like the color than it was, and the crackling, and the crackling. Beautiful. It was so magnificently beautiful, and the crackling. The fires are light and beautiful. Probably be more magnificent than ever. Make a fire and be happy. I thought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It should be destroyed to be created into a thing even more beautiful. Our joy of doing the fire. I get excited. All over, I am excited. I want to see it all burned up. Redder and redder in my eyes. It should be fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It should be fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It should be fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It should be fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. Should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. Destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed. It fought such a beautiful edifice should be destroyed.
The crushes, the fires, and the light, and the crushes.
Beautiful. It was so magnificently beautiful. There, and I thought it would be great to be more. I wish I met her once back then.
Stylish marriage, I can't afford a carriage, but you'll look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
Decades after its release, we reveal what might have been the real reason HAL 9000 sang Daisy Bell in 2001, A Space Odyssey. Remember how in Kubrick's 1968 visionary science fiction masterpiece, astronaut Dave Bowman is forced to shut the supercomputer HAL 9000 down after it malfunctions and kills the rest of the crew on their Jupiter-bound spacecraft? Well, as Bowman unplugs HAL's connections one by one, the machine has a flashback to its very first day of operation, when it demonstrated its abilities by singing a song.
The song? Daisy Bell, written in 1892 by Harry Dasser.
But where did Kubrick get the idea to use that particular tune? It turns out that in 1961, the IBM 7094, among the earliest and largest mainframe machines developed by the computing giant, became the first computer to sing, and the tune it warbled was,
you guessed it, Daisy Bell.
It seems certain that Kubrick used this as the inspiration for HAL's sign-off in his movie.
I'd like to hear it, HAL. Sing it for me.
It's called Daisy. Daisy, give me your answer to. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't.
One of the most brutal deaths in film history.
I asked Siri about HAL, and it said it'd rather not talk about it. Lol.
Okay, here goes. Daisy, Daisy. Give me your answer, truth. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you'll look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
Someone, please recreate the scene from 2001 A Space Odyssey with Bonzi Buddy.
HAL, is that you?
Make him sing this song as you're uninstalling him.
Who else find this cute and creepy at the same time?
I remember my grandma singing this song to me. It sounded even worse.
Hal, is that you?
Did it take anybody else over a decade to figure out that Bonesy Buddy singing this song is a reference to Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Henrietta Lacks was an African-American tobacco farmer from Virginia. She was born in 1920. She had five children by the age of 31, and at 31, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer. She came to Johns Hopkins Hospital on January of 1951 with the complaint of a knot in her womb. A sample was taken from the mass in her cervix for a biopsy. She was diagnosed with cancer and she started receiving radiotherapy. She was discharged a few days later. She was told to return for X-ray treatments. Johns Hopkins Hospital was racially segregated at the time, and obtaining consent from patients to study material taken from her bodies weren't a part of the practice. So she or her family weren't informed that cells were obtained from her body by George Gay, or that these cells were immortal. She passed away on August 1951 due to her cancer metastasizing, but her cells lived on. Henrietta's cells, named Hella by the researchers who studied them, is what's called an immortal cell line. While most human cells died out in culture after 24 hours, Hella cells doubled in number every 24 hours, which made the Hella cells suitable for medical research. Henrietta Lacks' cells aided in research all over the world. 50 million metric tons of her cells were reproduced by researchers. There are 17,000 US patents that involve the Hella cell line, and these patents continue to make money for pharmaceutical companies today. Henrietta Lacks was buried in an unmarked grave in Virginia. Her children found out about her involvement in medical research by a coincidence in a dinner 20 years after her death. They received no compensation for Henrietta's involvement in medical research. In 2010, a headstone was donated for Henrietta by Roland Petillo, a researcher who worked with George Gay and knew the Lacks family. The exact location of her grave is unknown, but the headstone was placed where her grave is speculated to be. The headstone reads, "Here lies Henrietta Lacks. Her immortal cells will continue to help mankind forever."